Good morning. The New York Times reports today that attitudes towards Americans in Pakistan, particularly diplomats, have become so hostile, they describe it as a concerted effort at harassment. And here to talk about that is Marvin Weinbaum, scholar at the Middle East Institute and a former State Department analyst on Pakistan and Afghanistan, and Shuja Nawaz, director of the South Asia Center at the Atlantic Council, and the author of Crossed Swords, Pakistan, Its Armory, and the Wars Within. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you. Good morning.
In the New York Times article, they describe incidents where American diplomats complain that, A, the 135 or so of them can't get their visas renewed. They're being their cars are being searched at checkpoints. They can't get visas for even the mechanics who are supposed to fix the helicopters that the United States has on loan. I mean, they're talking about the specific incidents, which in and of themselves may not sound like a big deal. But Marvin, together, they call this, a concerted effort to harass Americans.
Well, it's got to be seen in the context of what has become a poisonous atmosphere in not just leaders having difficulty with the United States, but the public. And they're reflecting that attitude here. And some of it is seen as a payback also because they claim that the Pakistanis are having difficulty getting visas to coming to the United States.
Shuja, there has never been a cozy relationship between the United States and Pakistan. They've long had a lot of anti-American sentiment there. What is different here?
Well, it's not very different. We've always had a roller coaster relationship. The United States has generally had a relationship with the leadership in Pakistan, whether it's an individual or an institution or a group. And they've not tried hard to maintain a relationship with the people of Pakistan. This is really what's fueling the current actions inside Pakistan. At the lower end of the spectrum, the police as well as the security agencies that are being accused of these actions by the unnamed spokesman for the U.S. Embassy, it's quite clear that there is a fair amount of resentment about the U.S. presence in the country, as well as Marvin said, stories that abound of how Pakistani officials, including the military, have been refused visas for coming to the United States.
But Marvin talked about this being something that's been going on for a couple years, and as you said, this is kind of a long-standing strained relationship. And I'm wondering what's calling attention to it now. Is it because the United States wants to become more involved in order to stage strikes against al-Qaeda and Taliban militants? Is it because of the $7.5 billion five-year aid plan that's been promised from Washington to Pakistan? Marvin, what's bringing this issue to the front now?
Well, there are a number of things. Of course, the drone attacks really began the acuteness of this a few years ago, and those have really created much of this atmosphere. But it had been there for a long time. The sense that Pakistanis have always felt that the United States was not a reliable partner, and what we're seeing now is events that include the recent announcement of additional forces in Afghanistan, which are seen by Pakistanis as somehow not being in their interest.
Marvin, let's explore that for a second. You raised this issue at the top of the hour, which really stood out in my mind, the idea that Pakistanis believe the Americans want Pakistan to break up in some sense. I mean, reading the sort of Obama and George W. Bush's statements, that couldn't be farther from U.S. policy, it would seem. Do Pakistanis worry that they're about to break up and that the presence of U.S. troops might aid that?
Well, I think there is what once was a conspiracy theory and now has become a large measure of consensus in the country that the United States, in collusion with India and perhaps others, really wishes to see Pakistan weakened. And behind that is the idea that the United States is determined to somehow get its control of Pakistan's nuclear weapons.
Shuja, explain to me that the complaint about the Pakistanis wanting more aid on one hand and then the other hand wanting the Americans to leave. I mean, obviously, the Americans are hoping to ramp up their efforts in Pakistan and Afghanistan, not just in terms of drone strikes, but they're also hoping to bring in 300 additional diplomats over the next couple of years as well. Is the sort of conflicting messages coming out of the Pakistani government because one hand doesn't know what the other is doing, or is it there's really a conflict within the Pakistani government itself?
I think there are paradoxes throughout this relationship on both sides. And the United States obviously does want Pakistan under some measure of control, but it also relies on a very stable and strong Pakistan in order to support the effort in Afghanistan. On the Pakistani side, they do need economic assistance, but they also are very scared of what Marvin called, the U.S. presence and influence within the country. And the history of the relationship has been such that the United States has tended to speak about the people of Pakistan, but actually only interact with autocrats when there was a need. And then the relationship would atrophy as soon as the U.S. had satisfied its strategic interests in the region. That's what's haunting the relationship, and my fear is that if both sides are not careful with their rhetoric, this may be a train wreck in the making.
Marvin, you know, this could become more complicated because of a decision from the Supreme Court in Pakistan, which has denied amnesty to the President Asif Ali Zardari, who's a strong U.S. ally in the region. If Zardari is ousted, perhaps, through this because of the Supreme Court case, what happens with the relationship between the Pakistan government and the United States?
We've had President Zardari, in a sense, is our point man in Pakistan. He's carried to the extent that any political leader there has been willing to step forward and champion the United States, although even he has had to back off that. Without him there, we believe that we can work with the democratic institutions, and there's a great deal of effort in recent months here to express the fact that although we still value Zardari, that we can work with the Prime Minister. And, of course, we work regularly with the Pakistan military. Mm-hmm. So that it does represent a setback for us, but what we have to be very careful of is that we don't repeat what we had just a few years ago, where we were so locked together with President Musharraf that as he went down, our own relationship with Pakistan also suffered, and we were held responsible, in a sense, for keeping him in power when, in fact, he was transitioning out of power.
Okay, Marvin Weinbaum, scholar at the Middle East Institute, a former State Department analyst on Pakistan and Afghanistan, also Shuja Nawaz, director of the South Asia Center at the Atlantic Council.